Parshas Pinchas. There are certain elements of the Torah that all of us can relate to, and there are certain elements of the Torah that, unless one closely investigates what the Torah expects from us, one can either get a very false picture of what the Torah wants, at best, and at worst, get the picture, we think you got the right picture, and you got it really completely wrong, and work and strive to reach a particular level of what we in our mind think the Torah wants, and it's completely off the charts. I doubt there's anything quite as complicated as understanding clearly what Kanos is all about. There's no Shulchan Aruch in Kanos. You know, you won't find any halach in Shulchan Aruch how to be a Kanoi. It's not there. Kanos is all about halach of a Meirin King. It's all about knowing the psak, but we're not going to tell you what the psak is going to be. If you come and ask, we're not going to tell you what to do. There's no other part in the Torah, v'chol Torah kulo, where you come and ask a Rav what to do, he's not going to tell you what to do. Kanos is a halacha, and if you come and ask, you're probably not going to get the answer from me. You're not going to get an answer. Why? Because once you ask, you're not a kanoi. So when is kanos? Kanos is something you do when you don't ask. Now, it's not something necessarily which is very pleasant what you're going to be doing. It's something usually which is very strong and very controversial and sometimes very unpopular, and you're not asking that Torah. So this is where the dangers are. You're doing something which is on your own initiative, where there's no way of looking up in Shulchan Aruch or asking the Rav what you should be doing is correct or not, and you're supposed to be doing it. That's the introduction to what Kanos is. And therefore this parasha, Parashas Pinchas, is a halachos of Kanos, and chas v'sholom for a person to say, we say later on, chas v'sholom for a person to say, that's not for me, I'm not a Kanoi. I'm more liberal. That is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us either. Hashem wants us to be Kanoim. How does one become a Kanoi? That is, takes learning, that takes understanding, and it's Ezra Shem, Shabbat Shema, will come some kind of insight what it means to be a Kanoi afterwards. And if I don't get it clear, end of it, please do not attack me for this. Okay? So let's get clear. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not telling you what to do. If you want to do it, do it. Krain is igrisa iu deheber parvanka. You want to, the person who came up with the idea should do it. I'm not saying you're to do it at all. And he did not tell him to do it. He didn't tell him to do it. And that's very, very important. It's not possible he has to do it. Now let's get clear. What happened over here? We've got Pinchas. We have Pinchas and we have Klal Yisrael in a very, very awkward situation. We have Rabbi Sai. Let's get a picture of who this person is. Zimri ben Solui is actually, has another name. The Gemara brings down, he has five different names. And one is Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, which is actually was the Nossi of Shevet Shimon. Actually, he was the son of Shimon. He lived 250 years. He's the son of Shimon. He had lived 250 years according to the Marsha there in Sanhedrin. He's the son of Shimon. He lived 250 years. He was a God Lador. Anyone in the Seim had Ruach HaKodesh. And after 250 years of doing everything so wonderfully well, he ends up having Znus with a Shiks in front of the Klal Yisrael. Now that's mamish what happened. I mean, it's nothing less and nothing more. That's exactly what happened. A God Lador having Znus in front of Klal Yisrael. Now, what did Klal Yisrael do about this? Klal Yisrael, says the Gemara, are paralyzed. Paralyzed. They're standing outside the Oihel. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the pay base of the Aleph. Vehema boichim. Loma bochu. Why are they crying? Sh'omalo Zimri l'Moshe. Zimri said to Moshe, Ben Amram, son of Amram, didn't even give him his own name. Ben Amram. Zeh asura imeteres. This thing here, this shiks over here. Muto asa. Ve'im toima asura. You're going to tell me it's asa. Bas Yisra imeteriloch. What about the daughter of Yisrael? Who allowed you to get married to her? Which is a stupid child because you might want to come up and tell her not. Anyway, go kulam b'tchir. They all burst out crying. Now, when a man cries, it's out of desperation. There's nothing else to do. It's a deep felt emotion. There's absolutely nothing to do about this. They all burst out crying. Says the pasuk v'yar Pinchas. The Gemara says v'yar Pinchas. Maro says the Gemara. V'yar Pinchas ben Ozan Anakoyim. This is actually the end of last week's parasha. Parasha's Bodok. Omarav, Ra'al Maisa v'Nishkar Alocha. he saw the Maisa and he remembered the Halacha. Omaloi LeMaisa said to Maisa, Leikach LeMadateinu Beritzitcho Mahasinai. Is this not what you taught us when you came down from Mahasinai? Haboy es HaKutis Kanoim Poigimboy. If a person has relations with a Kutis, then the Kanoim, the people who are zealous, take revenge. Omaloi crying Igrisei Ilehebe Pavanka. The person, the reader of the letter, is the one who should fulfill the message. Ushmul Omar Rosh in Chokhmah bein Tzvunah bein Eitzim Neged Hashem. There's no Chokhmahs over here. Kol Mokin Sheshchil Hashem in Cholkin Kovod L'Rav. In its place for the Shchil Hashem, we don't ask our permission to do what has to be done. Kol Mokin Sheshchil Hashem in Cholkin Kovod L'Rav. It's a Gemara heading of Pei Beis Hamdalek. In other words, Rabbi Yisrael, he was dealing here with Klal Yisrael are paralyzed. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu is stuck. Klal Yisrael are crying. Here we have the God of Ador having his nurse. Chaman of Islam. Vayar Pinchas. Pinchas saw. He saw Vinizka Halacha, and you remember the Halacha. What did he see more than anyone else? What did he see that Klal Yisrael didn't see? The Maisa. They all saw the Maisa. They all know what's going on in here. So Vayar Pinchas. Why Daska Pinchas? Vayar Pinchas. Ra Maisa Vinizka Halacha. What about anyone else? What's going on here? Number one. Number two, the parasha starts off in parasha Pinchas. Vayidav Hashem Moshe Lema, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Now, why is it the Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen? Why didn't just say Pinchas ben Elazar? Why three generations? Says Rashi, straight away, the first Rashi in the parasha. Lefi shehoyah ha-shvotim avadim oisei. The shvotim were abusing him. And they're saying, Hara'isim ben Putti zeh. Have you seen this ben Putti? You know, the son of this idol worshipper, Shapitem Avi Imoya Golan Avodas Kachovim, his grandfather Yisroi, stuffed calves for the sake of Avodas Zar. Vahorat Nossi Shevet Yisroel, and he's got a chutzpah to go along and kill a Nossi of a Shevet in Klal Yisroel. Lefikach Boa Kosu Biyachse Acha Aaron. That the Pasuk says, no, forget about Yisroi, it's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Okay? Now, Rabbi Yisrael, who is saying this, and who they're saying it about, and why they're saying this? What happened here? Klal Yisrael are being saved now from a Magefa that's killed 24,000 people. Yeah? It makes swine flu look like a picnic. Right? 24,000 people. And he stopped it. He made this human shish kebab, and he stopped it. He stopped the Magefa. He did a modig thing. He stopped it. And they come along and they say, Rav ben Putti there. And who's saying this? The Erev Rav. It says a few shvotim, the whole shvotim of Avraham. He said, "Klal Yisrael himself, shvotim." In other words, the people, the Choshev people, were saying this. Rei ben Putti there. What problem do you have? He's a hero. He saved the day. He stopped them at Gaza from going on. What problem do you have with him? What's your problem? What's wrong? He saved the day. Rei ben Putti there. Da, 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 da. He's a guy. He's a hero. What are you talking about? And thirdly, now there's what's the problem? Number one. Number two. Secondly, number two, so the pasuk, no, you know what? It's not Ben Putti there, forget about his grandfather, talk about Aaron HaKohen. That's called whitewashing. It's not called sorting out a problem. If they had a serious chashash, you know, if they're laughing about him for whatever reason it was, look at this grandson of Ovid Avodah Zarah. Yeah, he goes along and kills, yeah? Look at him. So they say, no, look at his other grandfather, Aaron HaKohen. But he's still got a grandfather, Yisroi. In other words, he's still got an embarrassing grandfather called Yisroi, who's in the Fatima Agolim of Edazara. So what does it help to say, don't look at that grandfather, look at his other grandfather, Aaron HaKohen. He's still got a grandfather called Yisroi. If they want to talk about Yisroi, they'll talk about Yisroi. So what's the problem? How does it help us to change and start talking about Aaron HaKohen if he's got Yisroi still lurking in the background there? Okay? So this is a very, very difficult sugya. Beginning here again, let's understand this. We have Klal Yisroel. Saved by Pinchas, that they're abusing him, they're making fun of him. Torah says, no, forget about Yisroi, let's talk about Aaron HaKohen. You have Moshe Rabbeinu immobilized, everyone frozen in their path. Pinchas suddenly is the only one, somehow or another, he saved the day. What did he see? Why is he the one? What happened here? Now, Rabbi Yisrael, Kanos is nothing new in the Torah. Kanos is nothing new. There are plenty of times in the Torah when we've had Kanos before. I'll give you a few examples. Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi went when the sister Dina was caught. They went to Shechem and they wiped out the whole Shechem. That was Kanos. Said Yaakovina or Apom, gave them a claw on the anger. Nodav and Avihu, Nadavanaviu brought Eish Zara, they had inspired. They wanted to come closer. Kodesh Baruch Hu brought Eish Zara. They brought fire into the Mishkan. Kodesh Baruch Hu killed them. The 250 men, 250 Anoshim, by Kulam Anoshim, yeah, these people, not Kulam Anoshim, 250 men, by Korach, they brought the Machdois, says Moshe Rabbeinu told by Kodesh Baruch Hu to take these Machdois and use them as Tzipulim is Beach. Why? Because the Machdois were Kodesh. The Maisa HaKtorah were the Maisa HaKtorah, but they shouldn't have done it. They were zealous to do an act that was beyond them. That is also Kanos. Yeah? I'm going to show that I can bring Kateris up. Yeah? That's Kanos. Fall flat on their face, they got killed. Okay? Many times, the ego, according to Ramban, was Kanos. That they wanted to make a leader to take them in, according to Ramban, according to Avinu. In other words, there are plenty of times in the Torah where Kanos has been used before. And each time, B'nai Ephraim, they went up there to Shaul. Yeah, they went up there to Shaul and said, okay, we're going to go now. There's plenty of times in the Torah when you use Kanos, you use their own initiative, and it didn't work. How come that in this particular case, Pinchas used Kanos and it did work? And he did the right thing. How exactly did that happen? Okay, this is a fascinating parasha, Rabbi Yisai. Now, I'm going to introduce you to a person that some of you may have heard about. And I'm going to be very careful how I describe him. But you just have to get a bit of a picture who we're referring to. There's a very, very interesting character, Nivdi Mesh, or called Amram Bloy. Anyone heard of Amram Bloy? Now, Amram Bloy was the head of the Torah Kata. Now, I don't need to associate the Torah Kata today was the Torah Kata then. Okay? Those people who consider themselves in Torah Kata and they go to the Iranian president and represent what they consider the Jewish nation and say you should bomb Israel because it's a Zionist state, these people are not Kanoim. They raised him. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, I'm talking about the old time Torah Kata. Now Amram Bloy was somebody who mamish fought for Kedushas HaOretz. Not everyone agreed with him. I'm not saying what he did was absolutely what I would do or what our Rebbe told us to do. But he was somebody who fought for Klal Yisrael Yoimom V'Laylo Mamash. There's somebody here called Mr. Buxbaum. Mr. Buxbaum lived in Mechon Yerushalayim. Buxbaum Mechon Yerushalayim. Their father was a lawyer. And he used to, every single Friday on the way back from work, Stet would always go to the jail on the Russian compound to release Amram Bloy from jail. That was like the normal thing to on the way home from shul, you know, buying a few pistachios and buying flowers. Go and get Amram Bloy out of jail. You know, try and get him out of jail. That was a normal thing. Why? Because you stand there in Meisha Orim and in Gu'ula and say, Rabbi Yisrael, close up for Shabbos. The Shabbos code is coming on. Close up. Yeah, and people who would be in public nuisance would take him, fling him in jail, and he'll release him every week before. They'd have the Mifala Pais, you know, the lottery booths, but all open on Shabbos. He would stand there with the Shtrayim and the Bekitcher after davening, standing there in the window that people couldn't buy tickets on Shabbos. People take a cigarette butt and put it in his neck that they should make room. He never budged. That was Amram Bloy. A fiery, feisty man. Unbelievable. Him and the Briskerov. The Briskerov, he used to lie down in the middle of the road. He used to lie down in the middle of the road on Shabbos. The Briskerov said that you respect the Tzionim. You respect the Zionists. Yeah, you said you respect the Zionists. In fact, you're a Zionist yourself. So why? He said, the fact that you think they wouldn't drive over you because they hate you so much means that you respect them. Yeah? Him and the Briskerov had a lot of different differences in opinion. But when the Briskerov asked, somebody spoke badly against Amram Bloy, the Briskerov said, love him, leave him, he's a Talmud Chochem. That's what he would say. And what's Peshat in that? There's a sefer called Beis Av, which I use very, very much, the Schlesinger sefer. The Schlesinger is a nephew of Amram Bloy. Amram Bloy is a fascinating man. He got remarried to a French skieuris. A fascinating story. No, it's not still alive. It was a few years ago. He's a very colourful character. Be that as it may, Amram Bloy learnt together. And they didn't think it was a whole interesting story, a fascinating man, but he did what he felt was right. You know, if that was the best shidduch, he's going to be best shidduch. You know, other shidduchim offered for him. No, my tachlis in this world is to be mashlim. You know, to have a wife that that's going to be the best for me. You know, she's French and I don't speak the language. We'll work something out. You know, she's a Gerim and I can't. Doesn't make a difference. She's a one o'clock on. I love, admitted to love Gerim and other rabba, got to be Makarifa. You know, he was a person who was totally in touch with, as far as he was concerned, what had to be done. Everything else was absolute, took a second place.
In the end, do you have children?
I don't know. But he's a very, very interesting person. But what, listen to this. He would learn, Reb Schlesinger learned together with him in his Beis Medrash, called, no. In Ol Moshe. Kol Ol Moshe. And he learned this for years. Reb Schlesinger, still talking about, he's a Rashiv in London today. And he said, when he could see Reb Amram Bloy coming to the Beis Medrash and surrounding himself the Rambams and Shulchan Aruch and learning with a Istabkus, taking out Gemara, taking a Rambam, a Shulchan Aruch, writing down notes, Reforshim, Reshonim, Achronim, he knew there's about to be an explosion in Yerushalayim. He knew something was about to happen. If he saw him for one or two days surrounded by Svarim, he knew something's going to hit the news very, very soon. After 2 days, he'd go out and you'd be, I don't know what happened to Gula. Gula would be up in flames, right? Because Amram Bloy is making a demonstration. Rabbeisai, the Bris Gerov wasn't necessarily his partner in crime in any way, and he wasn't somebody who necessarily held everything he did. The Bris Gerov is a Talmud Chacham. What's pshat? Kanos does not start by freedom of expression of anger. Kanos is based in halacha. He never did anything unless he felt that absolutely the halacha determined my kanos, not my kanos determines halacha. Ra Pinchos, the Niska halacha, means that he saw kanos is all about identifying halacha so clear that you see beyond the halacha. You see what the Shulchan Aruch meant, not what the Shulchan Aruch says. He is so involved, the Shulchan Aruch is so much in his bones, that he reacts according to the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu without even asking a Rebbe, because he knows that is Ratzon Hashem. And if you don't know it's absolutely Ratzon Hashem, there's no place for Kanos. There's no place for Kanos unless a person absolutely clear what Halacha dictates. It is not something, chutzpah, there you, no, 1 second, let's find in Halacha. What does Halacha say? And until you get that absolutely clear what Halacha is saying, only then you allow your Kanos emotion to kick into gear. Not beforehand. Ra Pinchos Niska Halacha. Pinchas saw something and he remembered the halacha. In other words, he was so clear the halacha. Pinchas was such a maven, he was such an expert in halacha. He saw something in halacha that nobody else saw. He saw Kanoim Poygen Boy. He saw halacha and Shulchan Aruch that's not written there. He saw Ratzon Hashem by being so sensitive to halacha. He saw what Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted even without the Shulchan Aruch saying it. And nobody else can tell him to do that, because ultimately it's not halacha paskin Shulchan Aruch. You've got to know what you have to do based on your halachic fine tuning. That is kanos. Kanos is based and can only be based on halacha. Okay? The question is now, I can pass on halacha. Yeah? I can pass on halacha and get it all wrong. Why? Because I have an agenda. Yeah? I can pass on halacha and I can work on Shulchan Aruch and I can pass on, you've got to make a hafganah and you've got to, you've got to make a hafganah against, you got to, I don't know, against the animal fur. You know, people who take fur off animals. So I'm kanos against that. So the whole demonstrations burn bins all over Gula because people are using fur for the shrimals. Is it right? Is it wrong? I have no idea. But I worked through halach and I found out it's chav alechayim and I'm going to start making afghanas. Maybe not. Maybe the reason why you're going out against fur and this and that is because you actually have a hat shop. You have to further succeed in war, black hats rather than shrimals. Maybe there's a bit of a negius there. How does a person identify? How does a person really know what the kanos is all about? How does a person really know they're coming to the right conclusion? Learning halacha and passing from halacha can be correct. You can have all the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, but unless you know how to learn the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, unless you have your own personal agenda set aside, you may get wrong pshat. So how do I sensitize myself to be actually clear that's what Rambam Shulchan Aruch actually wants? Says Chassam Sefer, Moedig a thing. Says Chassam Sefer, that this, what's going on with Zimri, actually, as the Gemara talks about that, the Gemara talks about it in length, that these women, not only did Znus with them, but the idea really was for them to do Znus. It was them to settle Avodah Zarah. They bring them in, and he said, okay, do Avodah Zarah, you can do Znus, you can have illicit relationships, but at first you've got to serve this Avodah Zarah. What Avodah Zarah are you dealing with? The Avodah Zarah called Baal Po'er. What is Baal Po'er? What is Baal Po'er? Baal Po'er is the Yetzer Hara of total secularism. Impulse. Complete deriding anything that is considered sacred, or completely taking apart anything that is in order. Baal Po'er is allowing for a person to excrete in front of something in public, wiping a nose of the Avodah Zarah. Excrement was considered the peak of Avodah Zarah. It is complete ultimate self-secularism. It's basically the idea of buying a beautiful pair of jeans and ripping them. That is the idea of taking something which is clothing, which is choshev, we respect clothing very much, and ripping them and showing that I don't care about clothing. You know, that is Baal Po'er. Okay, I don't think a person chai mishas for Baal Po'er if he takes a pair of jeans and rips them. But the ideology of it is the fact that I've got absolutely no, there's no seder, that is secularism. That is impulse, that is do what you want, that is serving a Avodah Zarah in this kind of impulse. That is Baal Po'er. Now, what did his grandfather do? What did Pinchas' grandfather do? He was Mefate Magolim Avodah Zarah. Now, what's Avodah Zarah all about? Not only did he serve Avodah Zarah, he actually spent time stuffing animals for long periods of time to find a perfectly acceptable Avodah Zarah. Something that he actually invested in hours of time and energy in order to make the perfect form of animal to serve Avodah Zarah. In other words, what his grandfather did, what Yisrael did, was exactly the opposite to Baal Po'er. Baal Po'er is impulse secularism, and what his grandfather did was not impulse, it was preparation of spirituality. Therefore, the Shaila now is, says the Shvatim, very nice, Pinchas is following Halacha, but maybe there's a gender here. Maybe the reason why he did what he did was not because he came to Pesach, not because he felt that was the right thing through an objective psak, but what he's doing was it irritated him that he's serving Baal Po'er, and that is why he did it. Why? Because he's got his grandfather's genes, who actually abhors and actually detests the idea of secularism, and that's why he killed. That's why he did what he did. He killed because actually he's going against the whole idealism of secularism. That's why he did what he did. Not because he is a person who is focused in halacha and actually thought that can I employ him, boy? Maybe there's an element there of in genetics that's telling him to do that. And if that's the case, he's got wrong pshat in the halacha, and he's a ritzayach. Says the player, no, I can be made. Says the Baruch Shleilam, Pinchos ben Elozar ben Aaron HaKohen. That's nothing to do with Yisrael here. This is Aaron HaKohen. This is Oyeh Sholim the Raid of Sholim. Oyeh Sholim is love, peace, and Rodeh Sholim, chase it away when necessary. You know the word Sholim in the Torah? Sholim in the Torah. I want to be aware of this. You look inside the vav, Ezra, is broken. Now let people aware of this. Let people aware of this. They come to the Sholim and look at it. They get called out, no. You look at it and everyone stops. How could it break in the vav? Is it supposed to be broken, right? Sholem is broken. What's Sholem? There are certain times when Sholem is all about breaking up relationship, because you know you've got to care about relationship with Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu too. That is Sholem. Sholem is sometimes a vav, a chibur, something that connects. Sometimes vav is something that connects, and sometimes a vav is a broken vav. That is Sholem. You separate. You smash what's necessary in order to make Sholem. This, says the Chassam Sefer, was a tiny of the Shvatim. Shvatim was saying, look at this Ben Putti. You know, he's not doing it for his own reasons. He brings Sharabam and Shulchan Aruch, he's got his own pshat, he's got his own personal motives, because he's learned, he's got genetically inclined towards hating something that's secularism. So the player, no. I promise you, it's got to do with Pinchos ben Elozar ben Aaron HaKohen. It's all got to do with Sholem. It's all got to do with Avos Hashem. It's all got to do with Kanos for the right reasons. That's lesson number one of Kanos. Lesson number one of Kanos is, it's got to be based in Halacha, and you've got to make sure, even if it is based on halacha, that you're doing it and you're passing the halacha through middos that are glut. You have actually got the halacha clear. Not because you have an agenda, you've actually objectively come out with this psak itself. If those two are not correct, if you have not got halacha clear, or if you have got halacha clear, as far as you're concerned, but it may be some kind of objective, it may be some pushed one way or another, because you have your own motive, that is not kanos, that is vulgait, that is wild, that is not kanos. That is the first lesson of kanos in this parasha.
What was the word of Shalom? Chase
Shalom? Oyev Shalom means sometimes he loves Shalom, and Rodev Shalom sometimes he chase away Shalom. Sometimes you've got to chase away Shalom, you've got to distance yourself from peace.
In order to
do the right thing, sometimes you've got to chase peace away. Avram Avinu, what did it say to Lot? Yipard no me'elai. You know, we're not getting on with each other. Therefore, don't say with this hug and kiss. What do we say? Yipard no me'elai. Separate yourself. I can't have anything to do with you. Leave. That is Shalom, because you've got to make peace with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sometimes, in order to make Shalom, you've got to be a relationship. Okay? That's the first lesson. Second lesson is, let's say, I'll do some rise to this, not going to this rise now, it's getting late. But let's say a person has got halacha correct, and he has passed the correct halacha, he's got Shulchan Aruch, he's got Rambam on his side, and he's actually come out the right psak because he's got the Midas Tovus that actually allows him to have the Shikul Adas. He's got there, Baruch Hashem, everything is fine. There is a very, very big danger. It's a very, very big danger. Even Lahavdol, Golda Meir, came out with a very, very good quote. She's a brilliant speaker. She came with this quote. She once said, she can understand and forgive the Arabs for killing Jews, but she can never forgive the Arabs for forcing the Jews to have to kill Arabs, even in defensive measure. She cannot forgive Arabs that they may have to make Jews have to kill. Now what does this mean, Rabbi Yisrael? It's an unbelievable Netziv and Hamak Dover. Unbelievable Netziv and Hamak Dover, and over here, and in Tvarim as well. Netziv says like this, Hinani Noisin Nois Brisi Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am going to give Pinchas now a Brisi Shalom. I'm going to give him the Peace Prize. I'm giving the Peace Prize. Ask all the Mepharshim, the Peace Prize? Peace Prize? This is a prize of bravery. Yeah, this is a Kanoos prize. That's not a peace prize. Okay, if Arafat can get a peace prize, then okay, the Havdol. But this is a peace prize. So how on earth does why Pinchas? This doesn't represent peace. This is Kanoos. This is bravery. This is standing up for Halacha. What's a peace prize? Rabbi Yisrael says in the Tziv, it is a derech avida what he says. Ki teva hamayt she'osa Pinchas. Because it is the nature of the action that Pinchas did, la'arig nefesh b'yodoi, to go along and kill somebody with his own hands. Hoyanoisein la'ishare b'leib hergush av. They can stay in his heart a feeling of av, of avus, of brazenness. Gam achakach, even afterwards. Avol. So hoy le shem shmaim shem hochi boy ha brocha she tomid benachas umidas hashonim lo yeze ha inyan lefikas halev. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you know, Pinchas, you did kanos. Well done. Well done. But you know what? I'm worried. A kanoi doesn't suddenly kill somebody and then become the sweet guy the next day. You know what? I've got to help you here. I've got to make sure that you drop your kanos now, because if you don't drop your kanos, even if what the Maisha kanos did was the correct thing, but it has affected you. It has affected you to become a wild person. And therefore, I've got to give you a bris shalom. I've got to give you an extra gift over here, that I'm going to make sure that you keep your edelkeit, that you keep your refinement of midas, even after you did this kind of action. But he said, listen to this. You can be a kanoi. You can do the right thing. But unless you have special seata d'shmaya, you can become a wild person and completely lose your tzura of what Klal Yisrael is all about. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you the Bris Yisholim. I'm sealing this with the covenant of peace. You did a Maisa, I'm not going to allow this to affect you, good Midas. The Rachayim HaKadosh says exactly the same thing. He says it by Eir Nidachas. The Pasuk says, V'nosan l'cho rachmim rachmecha. When you take a town and you kill the whole town, men, women, and children, animals, everything. So the Rachayim HaKadosh, why does the Pasuk say, and I'll give you rachmim? So the Rachayim HaKadosh says exactly the same thing. Because after you take out a whole town, you kill the whole town, even for the right reasons, you become a mushkas. You become an angry person. You become a person whose midas are affected. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'll give you a bracha. Afterwards, I'll return you. I'll restore your edelkeit, your finance and midas is not going to affect you. Now, Beisai, this is how deep it is to be a kanoi, even for the right things. You got halacha. and you've got Shikul Hadas, you've actually made the correct calculation, even after that you did the right Maisa, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you a special bracha that even after the action you did, you're actually going to turn back into a very fine person again. And therefore that's how dangerous is Rachman al-Islam, if a person is not following Halacha and is a Kanoi, or is following Halacha but as far as he's concerned they're not making the correct Shikul Hadas, what a mushkus he can become, how wicked this person can be. And that is a problem of not using the correct Kanos. Kanos can be absolutely used and twisted, a person can be completely twisted even with the correct Kanos, unless they have Shabbat Dishmai, certainly with the wrong Kanos. That is how dangerous. It's mamish dealing here with radiation. Mamish radiation. Radiation can save a person's life or kill a person. Depends how much you use. That is how careful you've got to be with this unbelievable thing for Kanos. So you may say, you know what? What do I need it for? What do I need it for?
Those two cases that you gave, specifically the Torah gave us insurance, anything else?
Yeah, if you're doing the right thing, there's no reason why you should be different anywhere else. It's absolutely
right,
clear.
So then tell me in the month, don't tell me.
It could be a private person, it could be... Okay. I don't think we have to come around to that. So perhaps he'll say, you know what, I need it for. Now I'm doing quite okay without this kanos. You know, you're dealing here with something with shikra das and all this stuff. What do I need this for? Rabbi said, where did Pinchas be today? Pinchas was a sub-society creature. He wasn't a regular guy. He was a Ben Putti there. You know, this guy hanging around called Ben Putti. He wasn't a Kohen. Yeah? He could have just stood by like everyone else. I'm not mechuyav to do it. I'm quite happy. Let it roll. My other more important people there. Why bother me? He could have just let this go. He took an action. You know what happened to him? He became a Kohen. All his children became Kohenim. There's a Tosafot that says the Kohanim Gedolim only came from Pinchas. All the Kohanim Gedolim came from Pinchas. He became Eliyahu HaNavi. He made the biggest Kiddush Hashem over and over and over again. He made the biggest Kiddush Hashem. He never died. He comes to every bris. Rabbi said, look at this Kanos. Look at this unbelievable Kanos. That what one action did, he wasn't even supposed to do that. He wasn't mechuyav to do it, but he did it. Unbelievable how it changed his life. But you've got to be very careful. You've got to be very, very, very careful. Pinchas is Eliyahu HaNavi. He used the correct Kanos. We just talked about, if you use a little bit extra what happens to you, there's a whole very interesting case by Nevi'ah HaBaal, where Eliyahu HaNavi, Pinchas, right, brings a whole class of Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, right, and then he says to Ribbono Shel Olam, your Klal Yisrael did not keep the bris. It's a whole Ein Shom in Malachim, didn't keep the bris. Says a Medrash, you know what, because Eliyahu HaNavi said he did not keep the bris, well, that was not necessary. He did not have to say that. That was a bit too sharp, a bit too strong. Because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him and makes him come to every single bris that Klal Yisrael make and say, close. He said, never keep the bris. Here's one. There's one in Calcutta. There's one in Newcastle. Yeah, there's one in Yerushalayim. There's one in Bet Shemesh. He has come to every bris and said, okay, I'm sorry, you're right, there's a bris. All the two generations, we know not, he can't relax there in Beis and Shemala. He's got to sit there and go from bris to bris to bris to bris to bris because he was too sharp. One word, too much. You could be a Kanoi, but in one word, a bit too strong, of course, Brock will go to every bris. I want to just add in my own thought is, the why does go bris? You know, what's having Zekish Eliyahu HaNavi? You know, okay, bris is said because it says they're bris. But the idea is that a father is doing a Maisa Kanos to a certain extent to his own child. Actually, take a knife, or to give a Shriach a knife, to take the knife and cut it. That is Klal Yisrael's Gevura, that is strength. And that is starting off the whole Chinuch process with your own child. Yeah, that's a Maisa of Kanos. To a certain extent, right? Says the Torah, before you do that, this is a kiss of Eliyahu HaNavi. What's that? Just remember, if you're starting with Kanos, you want to be strict with the child. You want to be, remember, don't be too strong. Because this is Eliyahu HaNavi coming over here. You know why he's coming over here? So if you're too strong, you're going to suffer forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
And therefore, by all means, discipline your child. By all means, make, you know, do Kanos. No, be strict with the child. But too much, remember, Eliyahu HaNavi Zochel HaTov is sitting right here. It was not MS, at least it's probably MS. But anyway, that's the vote of Kanos. In other words, it's very late. In other words, Kanos is going to be based on Torah values. It's going to be based on Shikul Hadas. If it's not based on Shikul Hadas, Rachman al Islam, it's not Kanos, it's Ritzicha. Even after you do Kanos, you've got to make sure, Chas v'chalila, they're not affected, you don't become a wild person through it. Okay? And also, don't let a person say, you know, I'm not going to get into this. Kanos changed Pinchas' life forever and ever. And also, Rabbi Yisai, it says, the prophet says, what does that mean? I did not wipe Klal Yisrael out from my kinnah. In other words, without Pinchas, we would have wiped out the whole Klal Yisrael. That is the Kodikos of Kanos. Perhaps the person will say, okay, that's Pinchas, but I'm not a Pinchas. Rabbi Yisai is a one, Kavaldi Gavod Taisor. And he says, you know what? The Medrash says there's 12 different Nisim. 12 Nisim that happened by the Maestro of Pinchas. And he describes all different Nisim he came into. He had managed to pick them up both on the same sword, and the sword didn't break, and the entrance came higher. 12 different Nisim. Ask him the Foshim, why did you go through the 12 different Nisim? Why do you need the 12 different Nisim? What's the idea behind that? The idea is, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, each and every one of us. You don't think you're Kanoi? You don't know what the results are going to be? Who said I can do all this? Don't do anything. Do what you have to do. Do that initial act. And you do the initial act. You do what has to be done. Kodesh Baruch Hu make any nisim possible to make sure that you get success with what you're doing. There have been plenty of kanoim in the past. A good kanoi, within his year, is Rav Noach Weinberg. Rav Noach Weinberg was a yeshiva bocher, a younger man learning in Kodel with a gewaldige chavusa, with a tremendous cheshek in Torah, with a tremendous amkus in learning, with tremendous knowledge. And he stood up one day and he said to his chavrusa, that's it, I've got to stop intermarriage. And he remembered it, who was it, Chaim Uri Freund. Sit down. Chaim Uri Freund is he's still in Eish HaTorah, he's Rosh Yeshivas Deir Toros Aaron. His grandson learns downstairs. Rav Chaim Uri Freund, he showed me, it's tremendous masmid. He said, just sit down, it's great. He's stopping intermarriage. Yeah, Roy Chwein, but stopping intermarriage. Yeah, do me a favor. He didn't even have a phone. He went to borrow a phone from the bank there. Bank Puggy. Yeah, start making his phone calls. He didn't have his own table, his phone. Yeah, the bank manager allowed him to use a phone. So, you know, he's very proud of his phone. So Rav Chaim Uri Freund said, remember, you own the phone, you don't own the bank. Yeah, don't get too carried away. And he made a revolution, Rabbi Yisai. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of people today that are from the Elohi Eden because one person made a kanos. How did he do it? He couldn't do it. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu made nes after nes after nes. There's plenty of nishenas as well. But that is kanosi. There's somebody called the art scroll, Mesira. A person stood up, a printer and a headmaster. Nosson Sherman and Mizotovich stood up and they felt that they have to do something about getting Torah out to the English speaker public. Yeah? So yeah, let's try and do that. Let's try and get Shas done. You can do me a favour. You know, you're crazy. It was not the same as the caliber. And they stood up and they revolutionized the world forever and ever. Yishalmi even now is open to the public. In French, in Spanish, in Russian. Unbelievable! Kamos! How did they do it? Maisa Nisim. How did they do it? They had their feet firmly in Torah. Firmly Shikol Hadas. They stood up and they said, Rabbi Yisai, whether we're Mechuyiv or we're not Mechuyiv, I don't care. I feel we have to do it because that is my Chiyuv and Rabbi Yisrael will help. And that has changed the world forever and ever, and the Olam Haba will be forever and ever, and the generations of Yiddishkeit has changed because of their brave actions. There's a lot more to say. I have a lot more to say. All I have to say is, there's going to be a time when Eliyahu Novi is going to come back. The end of the Novi finishes. There's going to be a time just before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu Novi is going to come back, and when Heishleib Obeis Albonim Leibonim Alavoisim, says Rashi. The Heishleib Obeis Albonim, what does that mean? Heishleib Obeis Albonim? Heishleib Obeis Alidei Bonim. It's going to be a phenomenon that's never ever happened before. Until now, we're all aware with a phenomenon called Yeridas Hadayus, where generation after generation we've fallen from level to level. Says the Novi, there's going to be one generation that's going to be different, where Heishleib Obeis Albonim, where parents are going to become back to Yiddishkeit through their children. Where the children are going to become frum and they're going to bring their parents back to become frum. That is going to be the generation before Mashiach comes. This is a unique situation that has never ever happened before. Zoltabi used to say, he used to go to South Africa, and he said years ago, and he said, you know, the Ponovich Rav used to always come into a house, you go to a secular person's house, and this person not wearing a kapel, you know, necessarily keeping Shabbos, and you come collecting money from him. And you say, no, I'm not very frum. But you know, you see this picture, this is my grandfather. You know, he's got his pay, he's got his sitters, and he's my grandfather. I'm not so from, this is my grandfather. He said, today, we have a situation where you go into people who are secular, and you go into, and you say, you know, I'm not very from, but I want to show you something. You go into a room, and in that room, there's electric guitar, yeah, and there's iPods and all stuff, and there's a picture of, and there's an art scroll, Chumash, and there's an art scroll, Siddur, and he said, I'm not very from, but Baruch Hashem, my child is in Eisha Teira, or Sameach, or Avram, whatever it is. That is a unique situation that's happening today. But you know what? That's for Eliyahu, why Eliyahu Novi? Because there's a certain stand we have to make. There's a certain kanos we have to have. We've got to learn from Eliyahu Novi that in order to do kiruv, in order to bring people back, it does not mean we have to completely allow ourselves to be annihilated by their understanding and their visions. We have to be very, very firm in a very polite way, in a very nice way. Rashi says, he brings a beautiful loshon. He brings al bonim, alidei bonim, for omar le bonim derech ahavo v'rotzlin. The sons will say through ahavo and rotzlin, lechu v'dibru el abiseichem lechu v'dibru el mokim. He'll say with ahavo, go back, ahavo and rotzlin, go back. There's got two things. There's ahavo and rotzlin. There's got to be love, and it's got to be rotzlin means will. We don't have to pander to liberalism. We don't have to pander to secularism. We have to be very, very firm what our beliefs are in. We have to be a kanoit. We've got to be absolutely, absolutely firm with what we're doing. On the other hand, it's got to be derech avo. And if you do that correctly, if we are kanoit in our own little way, you know, I'm sorry, I cannot allow this to happen. I have to, you know, you've got to ask yeshayas. But there's a certain element there where you cannot allow oneself to be pushed around with secular ideas. You have somebody speaking up a conscience at the table. In other words, you can't just sit there and nod sheepishly. I'm very, very sorry. I hope you don't take this badly. But you know, this is not the Torah Hashkafa. This is not that Daf Torah. No, all these boys are sitting in yeshiva all the time. They're wasting their time. Yeah, okay. You can say whatever you want, but as far as you know, that's not Torah. And in fact, Chazal say that your wine becomes Yain Nesach. There are certain times. Again, not suggested. But there are certain times where a person has an obligation to make his point heard and make his point understood. In a way of ahavot, but without any compromise. That is the Ezer Shem, that will bring Mashiach. And therefore, again, kanos has to be learned. You've got to base yourself in halacha first. You've got to base yourself in midas tevis. Work and understand and appreciate that anything you have learned is going to be done with shikul hadas, that it's not me involved, it's Torah saying this. Even after you have kanos, you got to go back and learn musra again and daven to Rebbein Shalom that you have not been badly affected by this radiation called kanos, that you've not become a wild person. After, with that, with everything together, then Rebbein Shalom gives tremendous siyata d'shmaya, Hashem even make nisim if necessary, and the schar you'll get will live on forever and ever like Pinchas. And that Ezer Hashem, with these understandings, this appreciation, we have a little bit of understanding what kanos is, and Ezer Hashem will bring Mashiach.
Nice. Why did everyone else mess up?